He was sprayed with Agent Orange when he was in Vietnam, and he had some health problems. And so we are there to help with that. We're training a young man to take over the church that he's working in now. And my desire is, I am about 65% supported now. When I get to about 85%, we will start formal language training. I'm learning things here and there, picking up things, but I barely speak English after all these years, so I definitely need some formal Spanish. And when we get to about 85%, we'll start language school, and then start a new work there in the city. We just thank God just for being down there. I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. This is a popular missions passage. And I just want to quickly go through it a little bit. But my question for you is, how long? You know, I think sometimes that imagine during the 20s and the 30s when they had gang members driving around the streets and shooting up people. I can imagine that the Christians back then had to start thinking, it cannot get any worse than this. How can it get any worse than this? The Lord's got to be returning. And I know that in our life as Christians, we're always looking, and we can look at the danger in my city. We can look, if you turn on the news and listen to Dallas news, you get a little nervous about driving into Dallas or even Fort Worth. And there's people all over this world, and regardless of where you go, there's danger. And we have to look at all the things that are going on politically and all the things that are happening in this life. And we have to ask ourselves, well, how long are we going to be here? We start looking at the economy. We start looking at the things going in our life. And we think, God's got to be coming again soon. But I want to ask, well, how long do we give to missions? For how long? It's an easy question. Everybody knows the answer. Well, we just continue to give. That is the purpose. But I want to show you from a passage of Scripture how I believe that the Lord shows us something here. But first, we will start out in Matthew chapter 9. And we'll read it from verse 32. And it says, "And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out the devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just want to come to you, Lord. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you just be with this time, Lord. Help me, Lord. I need your strength. I need your power, Lord. I need clarity of mind and thought, Lord, tonight. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you just fill your spirit in this place, Lord, and speak to our hearts, Lord, that where no man's voice can speak. But, oh, Lord, we need to hear from you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we see here, and the Bible tells us here in verse 35 that Jesus went about and he preached and he taught in the villages and the synagogues. And we see here, but he also went out and he healed their sick. But the Bible tells us that in verse 36, it says that he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. Because they were sheep as without a shepherd. They were without leadership. This verse, moved, or the phrase, moved with compassion, is found 5 times in the New Testament. Twice it is speaking about people needing leadership. 2 other times it is speaking about that they needed healing. And the 5th time, it's a parable about forgiveness. And so when we look at this and we see that Jesus was moved with compassion because he saw people that had a great need in front of them, and he knew that there were people that needed to go out there and show them the way. We are blessed in America, but the gospel did not originate here in America. It took faithful men to bring the Word of God from where they had come. And it will always take faithful men to take the Word of God from where they come into a dark world and show people the gospel. We don't wake up one day and we say, "Oh, I got it. I got it all figured out." It takes the Word of God to be preached out throughout the world, and it takes men to take that message. You know, God, He could have chose many different avenues to take the gospel from one part of the world to the other part of the world, but God chose to use men. And when we look at that, and we see that, and we look and we wonder, "Lord, am I worthy? Lord, am I capable? Lord, it's impossible, and it is impossible for us. But with the Lord, all things are possible." And missions is about taking God's plan and doing it His way and showing people His Word. We have a bad thing in Mexico. For many years, people would go down into the country of Mexico and they would say, "Hey, let's put up a tent and we'll preach the gospel." And then they would tell a bunch of Catholics, "You need to get saved." And the Catholics say, "Okay, what do I do?" And they say, "Well, if you want to get saved, raise your hands." And Catholics like to raise their hands. So you say to a Catholic, "Raise your hand." They say, "Okay." And you say, "Oh, well, say this prayer." Catholics love to say prayers. And they'll say, "Okay, I'll say a prayer." And then they say, "Well, now you're saved." And there was no conviction in their life. There was no truth. And now they go out and they think, "Oh man, I'm saved. And I have no need to ever make a decision for God because it's already been taken care of." And now even the Catholic Church will tell them, "Yeah, go ahead and get saved. It's another good work for eternal life." So in Mexico, for years and years and years, people would go out and they would put up tents and they would just preach one message, and a person would hear the gospel the first time, raise their hand, say a prayer, and some American would come back and say, "Oh man, we had 5,000 get saved this weekend." And chances are there wasn't one of us. One of them got saved. Because how many of you got saved the first time you heard the gospel? I can remember being raised in church. I can remember knowing Bible stories and understanding the Bible and the things that went on in the Bible. But I remember the day when the Lord came to me personally and said, "John, you need to get saved." And that's when I realized that I needed to get saved. I already knew a lot of Bible stories. But knowing Bible stories is different from knowing the Savior. And in our life, it takes for people. You know, and the Bible tells us here that the Lord was moved with compassion because there were people out there that had greater needs. You know, we can look through the Bible and we can see how that men were healed. And we can see how that, you know, God used even the disciples themselves to bring healing in people's life. Jesus brought Lazarus from the grave. But healing has a problem. If a person dies without the knowledge of Christ, they still will spend an eternity in hell. It is better for a person to be sick their whole life and trust in Christ and have their sins forgiven than it is to have the greatest healing miracle of a body. And in this time, this place, there are too many people that they are putting too much concern about things that won't matter in eternity. And so we see here that Jesus was moved with compassion. You know, in our life, if Jesus is moved with compassion about something, should we not at least pay attention to it? And think, "Man, I maybe need to use this. Maybe I need to take a thought of this in my life. Maybe I need to use this and take concern in this." Because, you know, when Jesus created this earth, what did He do? He spoke it into existence. When Jesus was on this earth and He healed the sick, there are some times He just told them, "All right, you're healed." There are other times that He touched them. There are other times that people touched Him. There was a time where He spat in the ground and made some mud and put some mud on some people, a man's eyes, and his sight was healed. But when it came to saving the sins of the world and to save people and forgiving of their sins, Jesus could not spit in the ground. Jesus could not just speak and say, all right, salvation is brought upon mankind. Jesus Christ, He had to give everything He done. Salvation was the most difficult thing God has ever done, because it took Jesus' shed blood on a cross to pay for our sins. So many times we think, oh, we look at other people that they think, oh, they're doing great things, and they're not preaching a lick of gospel, when our concern should always be on preaching the gospel, leading souls. It's up to God to bring the increase, but it's up to mankind to go preach the gospel and to obey God. And then we see here in verse 37, it says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. We look at that word sin. You know, that word sin doesn't mean to call and train and prepare. It's kind of like if you join the basketball team and you're sitting on the bench and the coach, see, I sit on the bench playing basketball so I can use this. And the coach saying, hey, Gilbreth, come. Now, did I sit there and think, okay, now does he really want me to come? No, I'll just sit here a while. Was it, okay, well, maybe I'll just go and see what he wants and I'll come back and sit down. No, when he called, when he said, all right, go, when he sent me out on the court, I jumped up and I was ready to go. After running around a little bit, I was ready to come back and quit, you know. And after I fouled a few people and all that, you know, I was, okay, I've done my part. But when we look at the word sin, you know, there are many people, I don't know what the numbers are, but I would say there's 1,000 missionaries out there on deputation waiting to be sent. There are people all the time that are ready and they are prepared and they are just ready to go. And they need churches to sin. We look at the word sin from the book of Romans, chapter 10. And it says in verse 13, for whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You know, Jesus here, He prays, He's saying, pray ye therefore that the Lord will send workers into His harvest. Pray. Many times we look at that word pray. And now, most of you here, I am sure you prayed over your lunch today. Did you? Let's hope. Okay. When Jesus is saying, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers, is He comparing it to a prayer that you might pray over your lunch? No. Is it like the prayer that you teach your children when they are very young? You know, before they go to bed? I don't even know. I've never even learned it, but it's like, pray ye, Lord, my soul to keep. What was that big prayer that everybody... I've never learned it. But do you think that when Jesus said, pray that the Lord sends workers into His harvest, do you think He's really just saying, okay, just a simple prayer like that? No. It's like those times when we have great needs in our family. It's like those times when we have somebody that is ill or sick, and we look and we know that we have a great need. It's a prayer of earnest that we look out into this world and we realize that this world is dying and going to hell. And we need to get before Him and be moved with compassion and seek an earnest prayer. When we pray, we need to think of three things. Lord, is it I that should be going? And the answer for that one will always be yes. We should all be going into our own place that God has sent us. God has a harvest field for every single one of us. But we also need to say, Lord, what about my children? Lord, am I willing to allow my children go over to a place like Juarez? Would I allow my children to go to an area in Indonesia? Would I allow my children to go to China? We should always be praying, Lord, if it's my child you want to send away, I need to be willing to allow that. I need to always be able to prepare and teach and show my children the need and the purpose of sending missionaries. But then we also need to pray. Say, Lord, if I'm not going overseas, if my children aren't going overseas, what can I do to make sure people get the gospel out? But the question is, how long? How long? This will go real fast here. It's not real deep. But turn to Matthew chapter 20. And we all know this parable, and this parable is about service. And many times it is preached, and the main thought of this is about service. But there is something here I want to show you here. In Matthew chapter 20, the Bible tells us, "For the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that is a householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his field." We see here that he went out early in the morning to send out laborers. In verse 3 it says that he went out the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. So at the third hour he goes out. And again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, "Why stand ye here all day idle?" You know, we see here that the Lord of the harvest, the Master, that He goes out and His desire is to send people out early. His desire is to send people out in the beginning. His desire is to go out even the third hour and send people out, and the sixth and the ninth hour. But the Lord of the harvest was so concerned about the harvest that He even went out the 11th hour with only 1 hour left. And he says, "I want you to go work my fields." Many times in our life, we have to ask ourselves, are we concerned about the last hours? Or do we just say, well, the day's about done. Our time on this earth's about done. We're through. Oh, well, whatever happens, happens. Whatever's been set in motion, whatever's been done, is done. Or are we like the Lord of the harvest, where we say even the last hour is worth sending more people into the field, Pastor?
Amen. 167 as we stand.